And expanding on the weather forecast just a bit, there is a weather warning. Ford County and other counties in northern Illinois are under a winter storm warning until midnight tonight, and a winter weather advisory remains in effect until midnight for Champaign, Vermilion, DeWitt, Piatt, Douglas, and Coles counties. It has been canceled, the winter weather advisory, that is, in Macon and Moultrie counties. Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Kelly. This program is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. And on the program today, we'll be talking about two different performances, both of them happening on Thursday. In Normal, Illinois, Thursday night, the continuation of the Red Note New Music Festival on the Illinois State University campus features a concert by the Illinois State University Symphonic Band. And that concludes with music by Steve Danube, brand new, essentially a world premiere. I'll be talking with the conductor of that concert, Daniel Belongia, and also with Steve Danube himself in just a very little bit. I should say that the Red Note New Music Festival does, in fact, continue tonight with a concert at 8 o'clock, and then also there's another one tomorrow night. It's been running since Monday, but we'll be focusing on Thursday's concert. You're certainly welcome to check out their schedule by going to the website for the Red Note New Music Festival. And then on Thursday at the Canopy Club in Urbana on the University of Illinois campus, it's a concert by the Yonder Mountain String Band, who are making a return appearance to essentially their alma mater, at least for some of them. And I'll be talking with two of their members coming up later on in the program. Here's one of the pieces that'll be on the concert by the ISU Symphonic Band on Thursday night. It's by Richard Strauss, called Königsmarsch or King's March. Music by Richard Strauss is Königsmarsch from 1906 in a performance by the Tallahassee Winds conducted by Dr. Bentley Schellehammer. And not exactly new music, nonetheless, it will open the concert by Illinois State University's Symphonic Band, which will in turn conclude the Red Note New Music Festival ISU Thursday night at 8 o'clock. Concert will continue with music by Virgil Thompson, not exactly a classic of the wind band literature, but one as that one would be interested in hearing, certainly. And then newer music by other composers, as I mentioned earlier, including Steve Danube, who we'll be talking to later. But first, conversation with the conductor of the concert, who also opened the Red Note New Music Festival, the concert on Sunday night, Daniel Belongia, who is assistant director of bands at ISU and conducts the ISU Symphonic Band. And Dan wondered how things went on Sunday and how the audience seemed to have received it.
You know, the folks that spoke to me certainly loved them, but I suppose, not to be too glib, the folks that don't sometimes just don't find me after the concerts. I'm grateful for that, I suppose. but the concert sure came off really well. As you correctly stated there, we had some music that was written in 2012. We had some music written in 2010, 2008, with a great collection of living American composers, and closed the concert with a piece that I referred to my colleagues as a classic of the modern repertoire by Paul Hindemith, whose piece is more than 60 years old, but still sounds challenging and engaging and fresh.
And the concert that you're going to be playing on Thursday night has a repeat of one of those composers from Sunday, John Mackey, going to play another of his pieces. Tell me about
John
him.
John was our composer in residence last week. So we were able to expose him and his music to a variety of the ensembles on campus. So we played his just barn burner of a piece called High Wire about the feelings of being suspended without a net and the energy that you might imagine would be included in that. And on the other end of the color spectrum, on Thursday we're going to play a piece of his called Sheltering Sky, which is as lyric and choral and slow and beautiful as you might imagine. So very divergent voices of John Mackey between last week and this. It was a treat to have him on campus, and we learned a lot.
Do I remember correctly when you and I had a conversation briefly last week that you referred to him as one of the most prolific writers for band right now?
He is absolutely one of the prolific writers, one of the most prolific writers for the wind band on the planet right now. His music's being played all over the world, and he was coming to us from similar events around the world and leaving us to further other events. He is, he's got new music being played at major events on a regular basis over here the last few years, and we're grateful to have his continued output in our repertoire.
And here is a bit of John Mackey's piece, Sheltering Sky. This is a performance by the Austin Symphonic Band led by Richard Floyd. Sheltering Sky, a composition by John Mackey from just last year, a performance that I frankly found on YouTube by the Austin Symphonic Band. Richard Floyd was conducting. It'll be played by the Illinois State University Symphonic Band, conducted by Daniel Belongia, Thursday night at 8 o'clock at the Illinois State University Center for the Performing Arts as the concluding concert of the Red Note New Music Festival that's been happening there. There'll be concerts tonight as well and tomorrow night, but that one will wrap things up. My guest is Dan Belongia for this portion of the show. Sort of a two-part question here. What makes his music appealing for the wind band, and then what do you look for as a conductor in newer music that makes you decide you want to play it with your group?
Yeah, you know, that is, I suppose, two questions, but the answer is probably one and the same. You know, John's music is very clear. John has a very sharp voice. He has a harmonic language that's a little specific to him. He has a very colorful language in his use of percussion, particularly. He has a very specific language in his use of texture, meaning, by which I mean, sharp, jagged edges of things that sometimes coexist with lyric, horizontal, song-like themes in and amongst and with them. So his music can be very attractive in that way. He's very efficient, and he's very good at his use of the wind band instruments. It's been a focus of his for most of his career, and he understands the strengths and the limitations of the instruments in a very strong way, and he knows how to use them in a very effective way. And there are, in many of his works, one of the things that gets to the second part of your question, one of the things that I look for whenever I'm researching repertoire, and that is that there is the opportunity for beauty, whether that manifests itself in the barn burner high wire type of piece that serves one type of taste and presents one type of color on a concert, or the lyric and beautiful and song-like Sheltering Sky that would present a different kind of a taste and a different kind of a color on a concert. Most of all, my job is teacher, first and foremost. So really, above everything else, we need the music to be of great quality, and we need, therefore, that music to serve that goal of providing opportunities for students to discover the ways they're inspired to become greater artists.
And people can certainly hear quite a variety of music under the broad notion of new music on Thursday's concert by the ISU Symphonic Band. Dan Belongia is my guest. He'll be conducting that concert. And like the Monday night concert, there's one piece with which you're opening the concert that I guess could be called a semi-modern classic of the literature, and then a piece that I frankly had never heard of by another American composer, Virgil Thompson, not a newer piece. And then you have Mackey's piece, which was just written last year, and another piece by Roy David Magnusson, also very colorful. And then a brand new piece we'll hear a little bit more about from Steve Danu later on. How did you choose this particular program, and I guess especially why these particular older pieces?
Yeah, it's part of the things that I try to do when building a concert program in general. Referring again to my responsibility as a teacher, I really try to make sure that over the course of a year, over the course of a semester, over the course of a student's time on campus, they will have had the opportunity to play fresh new music, but while never neglecting the great older music, somehow or another, just because it's older. So you said it. We're opening our concert with the Strauss Königsmarch, and Strauss is just great music. And it's a thrilling, fun way to start a concert. We have antiphonal percussion, antiphonal trumpets. It's a celebratory piece that is just really a very fun way to kick off a concert. We employ the organ in the end, and it's just rather big and bombastic and terrific. So concerts are celebrations, and it's certainly a fitting way to start this one. I'm glad you mentioned the Virgil Thompson, because you're not alone in that this piece is a rather neglected piece in his output. As far as I'm aware, the only piece he ever wrote for wind band called A Solemn Music, and it is very different. Again, my mind is always drawn to ways that I can provide a variety and texture, not only for the students that I believe deserve opportunities to play all this kind of different music, but if I were the listener and I were thinking about attending this concert, I would like variety in the different sound spectrums and textures and colors and harmonies. And the wind band is really good at that if we give them the right repertoire. So the Thompson is starkly contrast to the Strauss, and he's an amazing American composer. So when we have this piece in the repertoire, we should acknowledge that, and we should play it as much as we can. And A Solemn Music doesn't get played as much as I think it should. So I was proud to put it on the program.
And then you
go ahead, please.
No, well, I was just going to say you closed the first half with a piece that's just a few years old, Roy David Magnusson. I did get a chance to hear this, not in a recording. It's called The Golden Gray, and sort of like, if I'm remembering the piece correctly, somewhat like the John Mackey piece, it's got some really pretty colors in this music.
You bet. Roy is a dear friend, actually a faculty member and colleague at Illinois State, and you said it. I thought it would be interesting to bookend the intermission with Golden Gray and Sheltering Sky, because there are some similarities in the aesthetic of the pieces. If you listened, you might have seen Roy's notes. He had a visual experience where he was in an open expanse, one of the many open expanses throughout the Midwest, where there was a cornfield, and it was in the very early bits of morning. Out in the east, the sunlight was just beginning to break over the corn, and it made this amazing reflection of golden light. And in the west, there was the most violent summer storm you could imagine, and absolutely threatening dark black thick clouds. And in the center, then the clash of those two. And he watched for, he said, an extended period of time that morning, those two things move together, and then the rain that came and the change in the entire atmosphere. And that inspired him to try to paint a musical picture with the same influence that had on him that morning.
And do you think one hears it pretty well? Hears the picture pretty well in this piece?
Yeah, I certainly do. I think it's an absolutely beautiful piece of music, as I think all of what Roy writes. I think he's a tremendous young talent, and I look forward to a lot of his music for the rest of his career. You know, a composer, and Steve could speak to this much more than I later, and or some point if you got a chance to speak to Roy, I know you'd enjoy it. I think a composer is sometimes hesitant with descriptive notes like that, because perhaps now we're stacking the deck. You know, okay, maybe I hear that, those colors, I hear that sunshine and the open expanse, and I hear the clouds and I hear the rain, perhaps because I read that I'm supposed to. I know that Roy would prefer that someone simply listen to the music and find it profound and find it interesting and find it beautiful on its own merits, and perhaps after, if they found out that there was an actual event and some natural occurrence that inspired the music, they would find that interesting, and it would make sense to them. But the music can be simply enjoyed for its beauty on its own without the background.
I think that reflects very similarly what Joan Tower was telling me yesterday, that she felt seems to feel about the same, that she'd just soon people listened and then program notes either shouldn't perhaps even address what the piece is about, or if they do, one should read them later.
Well, that's about the highest compliment I could have gotten today, that if I had the similar thought to Joan Tower. That's amazing. Thank you.
You did, and it was on the air yesterday. Before we talk with Steve Danu, who's the composer whose piece will round out the concert and the whole festival Thursday night, tell me how Illinois State University got involved in this consortium that commissioned the piece called This World Alive from Steve?
Sure, sure. It's a short story with some long roots underneath. Steve and I were colleagues at the University of Miami. We were students there together. And so we've known each other for a good number of years. And as it turned out this summer, I was trying to put a program together, and I was having some of the same thoughts that we've discussed here, and I was looking for something to fit a need in this goal of contrast and that we've discussed. And a piece of Steve's called Good Night, Good Night came to my attention. Our former teacher, Gary Green, that we shared in common, has been championing Steve's music for a little while, and over the summer I saw a live performance of a piece of Steve's called Laude, conducted by our teacher with the Interlochen International World Youth Wind Ensemble. And it's beautiful and profound. It wasn't quite the right piece for what I needed to do this fall, but it turned out that Good Night, Good Night was. And so I reached out to Steve, and he self-publishes, and he quickly set me up with score and parts for us to use that piece in the fall. And then we got to talking. It had been a little while since we'd been in touch, and he let me know about the current project that he was working on. So I was thrilled. I thought it was such a unique and beautiful idea to compose music alongside an artist colleague making an art film. I've long, of course, admired the beautiful work of Ansel Adams. And I was very happy to have had the opportunity to then get involved and support it. And it has manifest here in this terrific opportunity to have had Steve on campus. Our choirs are singing some of his music. He is a saxophonist, and he has written a good amount of music for that instrument in solo, in duet, in quartets. Our saxophone studio has embraced a good number of Steve's works, and he's going to work with them in masterclass during the week. And then we, today at 4 o'clock Tuesday and Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock, have the opportunity to rehearse with him. And I'm excited to he'll have the first opportunity to hear This World Alive played live with real musicians in the room. And that's a tremendous opportunity for our students and for me. And we've worked hard to prepare the music. I think he'll be pleased, and we're going to get stronger as we get closer to the concert on Thursday night and play a nice premiere performance.
And that concert by the Illinois State University Symphonic Band starts at 8 o'clock Thursday in the ISU Center for the Performing Arts on campus in Normal, the closing concert of the Red Note New Music Festival. Daniel Belongia is conducting that concert. And in just a few minutes, we'll be talking with Steve Danu, whose piece called This World Alive, with film by Kyler Bryant, will close out everything. And I appreciate,
yes,
Dan, spending some time with us here, letting us know about the concert.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about these composers and this music.
And we'll be hearing a piece by Steve Danu in just a moment. In fact, the one that Dan said inspired him to get in touch with him after a number of years. First, I need to give you an update on the weather. There is a winter storm warning in effect until midnight tonight for Ford County, as well as other counties in northern Illinois outside our severe weather coverage area. There's also a winter weather advisory in effect until midnight for Champaign, Vermilion, DeWitt, Piatt, Douglas, and Coles counties. The winter weather advisory that had existed for Macon and Moultrie counties has been canceled. Our broadcast today on Live and Local is made possible by these business partners: AgriGold Hybrids of Mahomet, Charles M. Hundley of Champaign, Michael Walker Consulting of Urbana, and Bates Commodities of Normal. These business partners join the Friends of WYLL in making great programs possible, and we thank you very much for your support. Here's music by Steve Danu. The original version of this, under the same name, was for SATB Choir, Soprano, Alto, Tenor, Bass Choir, and he arranged it himself for wind band. It's called Good Night, Good Night. This is an uncredited performance that I took off of his own YouTube channel. I'm sure he knows who it is, but I didn't see a credit. Nonetheless, here's a portion of that piece by Steve Danu. Thank you. Just a bit of a piece called Good Night, Good Night by Steve Danu, his own arrangement from his original choral piece for wind band. It'll be played, it won't be played, by the world premiere of his new piece, This World Alive, which is joined to a film by Kyler Bryant, will be performed Thursday night at 8 o'clock at the Center for the Performing Arts on the Illinois State University campus as the final concert on the Red Note New Music Festival, which itself continues with concerts tonight and tomorrow night, which I'll mention a little later on the program. But I want to welcome Steve Danu to Live and Local. And this piece was actually commissioned in sort of what has gotten to be a new way of doing things, where groups of orchestras or bands or universities will get together and put out a commission together to a particular composer. Steve, why don't you let us know how the process worked in your case?
Sure. Yeah, well, thanks for having me on today. And the piece is a consortium commission, and essentially what that means is that there are a number of different groups involved instead of just one single group that would commission a piece. There's actually, in this case, 27 ensembles that came together to support the creation of this work. And a good friend of mine, Tim Shade, who's the director of the wind ensemble at Bethel College in Newton, Kansas, he and I were sort of talking about the idea of doing a wind and film piece, a couple of years ago, and that was sort of the initial conversation. He became the lead consortium commissioner, and so he helped, spread the word about the project, and we both reached out to ensemble directors that we knew and schools that we knew, and, we're really excited to get such a fabulous group of ensembles together to support this piece.
Of course, ISU being one of them. And inspired, the piece inspired by your exposure to the photography of Ansel Adams, wonderful photographer generally in black and white of grand vistas from out west for the most part.
Yeah, Ansel Adams' work is just so beautiful to me. And, I just feel a great connection to it. It's like you said, just beautiful grandeur, and there's sort of this feeling in his work that there's this great power and yet this incredible beauty too. And so to me, there's so much to look at and so much also to think about musically when I look at his work. And it's interesting too, because he was actually a phenomenal musician and was very close to becoming a concert pianist when he was young, but decided that photography was really even a bigger passion for him. It's fitting that we're matching music with his work here. I think it's just really beautiful.
So tell me about the process that you went through with the filmmaker Kyler Bryant of putting the piece together. Was it visuals first and you added the music, or the other way around, or something in between?
It essentially was a little bit of both, but mainly the music came first in the sense of producing the final product. Of course, the impetus for the whole project was the work of Ansel Adams, so in that sense, the visual came first. But Kyler and I have been talking about this idea for the past couple of years, and this basically in 2012, I started writing the music, and Kyler went to the Grand Canyon in the fall and took film of a lot of beautiful vistas, and so he was sort of gathering footage as I was writing the music. And of course, we had conversations about how we were going to coordinate the music and the film and kind of the flow, the arc of the piece and the timing, but essentially I wrote the music without a visual, without a version of the film being there. And I gave him throughout the process, pieces of the music, and so that he could start putting that film together and start compiling all that footage he had into a full product. But essentially, I gave him, by the end, a full music track. The piece is about 15 minutes. And then he produced the final edit of the film around the music.
And the film includes a lot of Ansel Adams' photographs, but also some original material, doesn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Kyler, like I said, took footage in the West and also out East. He's from Boston. And so the film is really a beautiful artistic rendering of Kyler's own artistic sensibilities, and then he incorporates photographs of Ansel Adams in a really, you know, in really creative ways. And so it's this really interesting, you know, combination of Kyler's own artistry as a filmmaker and then, you know, Ansel Adams' work.
When you were writing the music, did you have Adams' photographs in front of you, you know, at least some specific ones that you found inspirational, or did you, as you were writing, have specific photos in mind for specific sections of the piece?
I did have photos in front of me when I was writing the music, but I'd never really had a particular photo in mind for a part of the music, per se. And I also have two large prints that are hanging in my living room that I've had for a number of years, and so it's you know, it's been in my life for a while. It's been important to me, so I certainly had the visuals there with me while I was writing the music, but didn't really, you know, have a specific image in mind for any particular point in the music.
And the title, This World Alive, is drawn from something that Adams himself wrote.
That's correct, yeah. And you know, Ansel Adams talked about how to him, you know, the whole world was alive, and, you know, every little piece of grass and every little piece of old wood, you know, it all had life to him and meaning to him, and, you know, capturing all those kinds of things, you know, he was trying to show the beauty of the natural world, and that's just something that really resonates with me, and I think, you know, informs my own artistry and my own musicality and what I'm trying to do. And so, you know, it's just, it seems, you know, a really fitting title.
Did I understand Dan Belongia to say earlier that your first hearing of this piece, even though it was commissioned by a consortium of schools and so on, was in fact during the rehearsal process at ISU this week?
Correct. Yeah, it was. The piece, as I said, was commissioned by 27 ensembles, and the very first performance was a few days ago. But this is the first time that I've actually heard the piece live, and you know, it's just been a great experience working with Dan and the musicians here, and, you know, it's just wonderful.
I'm always curious when a composer goes from the page to the ear, meaning for yourself, you had it in your head, you put it on the page, but when you finally hear the piece played is really essentially your first full exposure to the piece. Are you ever shocked or at all surprised by what you hear?
I think there's always some things that surprise you a little bit. You know, certainly as composers, we try to, you know, hear everything ahead of time and to think in terms of, you know, the orchestration and the instruments and how they're going to sound playing these lines that we've written. But of course, depending on the space that they're in, you know, things may be a little bit different than we thought, or balance. And that's what's great about being here and working with the ensemble, is that, you know, we can tweak those kinds of things. And you know, if there's something that's a little bit louder or softer out in the hall, we can, you know, tweak those before the performance. And so it's just, you know, it's great to be able to be a part of that process.
And the process will culminate in a performance Thursday night at 8 o'clock by the ISU Symphonic Band. Daniel Belongia will conduct. The concert includes music by Richard Strauss, Virgil Thompson, Roy David Magnusson from ISU himself, John Mackey, and finally, This World Alive, essentially a world premiere, I guess second performance, of this music by Steve Danu, which will be accompanied by, or will accompany, I guess both things together, film by Kyler Bryant featuring photos of Ansel Adams and a lot of other visuals as well. And Steve has been my guest this portion of Live and Local. Really appreciate you letting us know about this process and about the music.
Thanks for having me on. And yeah, it's been a real pleasure to be at ISU this week, and look forward to a great performance.
And here's another piece by Steve Danu, or a portion of it, that conductor Dan Belongia mentioned having performed. It's the first part of what's called Lauda, then that portion itself called Montes Dei, which translates as God's Mountains. This is a performance by the ensemble by whom it was commissioned, or for whom it was written, the Eastman Wind Ensemble, conducted by Mark Scatterday. It's a portion of the first part of a larger work called Lauda. Montes Dei, the name of that movement, God's Mountains. The Eastman Wind Ensemble, conducted by Mark Scatterday. Music by Steve Danu, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. On Thursday night, on the University of Illinois campus, at the Canopy Club, at 9 o'clock, you can hear and see the Yonder Mountain String Band, who are making a return appearance. Two of their members actually met at the University of Illinois, and they come back to Canopy every once in a while. And it seems just about yearly, as a matter of fact. They're going to be there, as I said, 9 o'clock. Here is music from their most recent album, which was a few years ago already. It's called The Show, and I'll be talking with two of their members in just a few minutes.
The good times don't seem to last, and the bad ones fade as fast. Either way, it means the time is flying. I can't recall how I got here. I don't know if I'm thinking clear. It's hard to tell the truth for all lying. And the only thing you get from me is time and a dim awareness, some things on my. She knows it.
has a portion of a tune from the album called The Show by the Yonder Mountain String Band, the tune called Casualty. And Yonder Mountain is going to be playing at the Canopy Club in Urbana Thursday night for a 9 o'clock show. And I'm pleased to welcome a couple of members of the band, mandolin player Jeff Austin and bass player Ben Kaufman. And I recorded this the other day, asked Jeff to talk a little bit about this particular tune, Casualty.
There's certain songs that just work, you know, and I remember the first time we played that one, the crowd response, I was like, yeah, you know, it felt, when we were rehearsing it, it felt like that, the reaction we got. It wasn't what, and I hate the word, these were expected, but I thought, man, this thing's going to get a good response. And the first time we played it, the response was great. We were in Lancaster, PA. And it was just great. It was like, I was like, all right, you know, that one just really seems to lock in, you know, and I just dig that there's reactionary points in that song. The crowd does that when we were learning it. It was almost kind of what I anticipated was going to happen, like certain points, certain changes, and certain verses and stuff. It's always a cool thing. It's a rare thing. You know, you don't want to have too many expectations in case it doesn't pan out, and then you're confused. But that was one where it just kind of all clicked from rehearsal to first performance. And even when we're playing it now, it's when it starts, there's a genuine vibe that I get from the crowd when it pans out. And it, you know, it's a mover, it's an A, it can be a segue piece, or it can stand alone, and it's one of those kind of songs that, you know, when people say, you know, what does Yonder Mountain sound like, that would be a tune that I point to and say, that's a good example.
And the band's been around since when?
1998. So coming up on 15 years, yeah.
Yeah, well, congratulations on that when it happens. You think the band has sort of shifted its musical focus since then, or has it always been this kind of mix of bluegrass, rock, country, all kinds of other things?
I think, if anything, we find out kind of every gig more and more just who we are and what we sound like. And that just comes with years and miles and gigs, you know. You can learn a lot sitting in a room rehearsing 10 hours a day, but you can learn, I think, a lot more of getting in a van or a bus or rental cars or whatever and getting out on the road and bringing that music not only to people but to yourself. You know, I take a great deal of stock in not the actual aspect of, like, sitting and rehearsing and doing this. I take stock in sitting around and drinking too much coffee and telling stupid stories and laughing about, you know, the world that surrounds you from city to city. You know, there's a different connection that happens from banging out, you know, four bars of the same thing over and over than being in each other's headspace and just being around each other. You know, those are the moments, I think, that take a song from written page and charts or whatever to being its own thing, being a living, breathing object. You know, that to me has always meant more than, you know, of course you got to get the harmonies right, you got to get this right, you got to get that right, but there's something about that internal gut meat of the tune that you can't get from any of that. You got to go out and you got to play it for people, and you got to use the influence of your day and of everything that goes on around you to make it like a real living, breathing thing. That's always how I've kind of looked at it, you know.
Tell me the story, if there is a story, since you sort of mentioned sitting around telling stories, about the song off of the show called Dreams. It's a little, one of the slower tunes on here, and I wonder if there's something there's always something behind the creation of a song.
Yeah, that was, I think, very much a. That particular song or project was led by Tom Rothrock, as I remember, sort of saying he wanted to write, I forget exactly how he described it, but I do remember being sent to different parts of his recording, room, house, and
being charged with the project, come up with a lyric to this thing. And you get everybody go off and write, you know, a verse or write your part. Then come back with it and sing it. So it was his idea to have four people singing on the same song. And that was sort of something that we'd never thought before. I do like that song. It's turned into like a powerful one on that record, I think.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was the part I like best about it is it's not, you know, a lot of songs follow a melody and a verse structure, and what happened with that is that we all found our own melody and our own phrasing and the way the lines fit, and then they all come back to this real lilting chorus, you know.
Well, let's give a listen to it. It's called Dreams from the album The Show. Yonder Mountain String Band, who are going to be at the Canopy Club in Urbana on Thursday for a show at 7:30, along with The Deadly Gentlemen here on Live and Local.
If my love for you was still meant to be, skies changed from red to blue, tossed away like broken wedding glass, fractured, overpaid and gone. All your dreams come true. 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 The court was made of auctioneers. People took whatever's theirs. They left the city square. I come from over there. All your dreams come true. All your dreams come true. All your dreams come true. All your dreams come true.
A house down the street.
Yonder Mountain String Band is called Dreams from their album The Show. They'll be coming to the Canopy Club in Urbana for a show Thursday night at 9 o'clock. My guests this portion of Live and Local, mandolin player Jeff Austin, whose voice you heard primarily, and bassist Ben Kaufman. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our programs are made possible by the Danville Symphony Orchestra, presenting Titans, Mahler's Symphony No. 1, and Beethoven's Violin Concerto, with special guest Clara Jumi Kong this Saturday at 7:30 p.m. in the Danville High School Auditorium. More information is available from the Symphony office at 443-5300. That's in the 217 area. Here are some other events you can see and hear live in our listening area. The next couple of days, Millikan High School Band Festival. Skip that. Eastern Illinois University Concert Band performs tonight in Charleston at 7:30. The University of Illinois Campus and University Bands will be at the Krannert Center in Urbana tonight at 7:30. The Traditional Jazz Orchestra will be at the Iron Post in Urbana this evening at 5, starting just about a minute from now. The Larry Gray Guitar Trio, 8 o'clock tonight there. And it's a live jukebox show with David Howie and Lou DiBello at El Toro 2 in Champaign tonight at 6:30. And Plain Ol' Ed is at the Rose Bowl Tavern in Urbana tonight at 8 o'clock. This is 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. There is a winter storm warning until midnight tonight for Ford County and a winter weather advisory for Champaign, Vermilion, DeWitt, Piatt, Douglas, and Coles counties.